over the next couple of months, I want to share some insights on the topic of prayer. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to be talking about this every week, but probably a couple times a month, we're going to be talking about prayer. And so I believe it's something that God wants to teach us about, and He wants to build inside of us. Now, prayer is a very big topic, isn't it? Lots of aspects to it. Very simply, prayer is communion with God. And we're to be constantly communing with God, aren't we? And that's why, like in 1 Thessalonians, the command is pray without ceasing. So, but there's a lot of different aspects of prayer. There's seeking His face. There's listening to His voice. That's prayer, isn't it? There's confession and repentance. Sometimes that's what we do. There's a need for confession. There's a need for repentance. Praise, thanksgiving, worship, is that a type of prayer? Yeah. You know, many of our songs, we are talking to the Lord, aren't we? And so that's a form of prayer. Trusting Him for our daily needs is a aspect of prayer. Drawing upon His life, you know, where we're overcoming sin and fighting the flesh, that is an important part of prayer. And all these are important. They are essential. But there's one more area of prayer, and that's the area that I really want us to be looking at off and on throughout this summer. And I'm calling it, this is my name for it, I'm calling it mustard seed prayer. Okay? And if we can, I think there's a definition that I have here. Okay. And it's prayer that engages in the work of God. Okay, because let's face it, a lot of our prayer has more to do with us, doesn't it? Lord, can you help me in my job? Lord, can you help me with my finances? Lord, can you help me graduate from high school? You know, can you help, you know, whatever. And that's good, but there's another type of prayer that gets involved in the work that God wants to do. And that's this mustard seed prayer. And it helps to establish the kingdom of God here on earth. We know that God's work is He wants to see the kingdom of God established throughout the whole world. And prayer is one way we can get involved in God's mission, His work. And we do that by asking Him to intervene supernaturally and do what otherwise would be impossible. In other words, there's some things in life or in the work of God that are impossible unless God intervenes. And God has called upon us, the church, and individuals to ask Him to do things like that. So there's a lot of things that would be included, like bringing the lost people into the kingdom of God. You know, His work, that often requires something supernatural, isn't it? And that's why you hear about people talking about how they were totally against the gospel. They were totally against the things of God. And all of a sudden, something happened, and they fall on their knees, and they confess, and they start following Jesus. That's something supernatural, isn't it? And it comes as a result of praying. Seeing these people made into disciples and established into healthy local churches. That takes supernatural intervention at times. Spiritual warfare. Tearing down of demonic fortresses. You know, sometimes the work of the enemy, there are fortresses keeping whole blocks of the human population from seeing the gospel. And it's impossible to penetrate it unless God intervenes. In fact, there's a lot of the purposes of God. We've talked about a lot of them on Wednesday night. You know, about the great harvest at the end of the age. How God wants to start bringing, many, many Jews into the kingdom of God, how he wants to bring many Muslims and Arabs into the kingdom of God. There's the release of workers into God's kingdom, you know, so needed. Actually, it's kind of a shame, but for the first time in about 100 years, the number of Christian workers, at least in the West, has actually dropped a little bit. Those who are full-time. God wants to kind of change that. Supernatural power and wisdom and strength for these workers. And, of course, financial provision for his work. Those are all things that we need God's supernatural intervention in. And it's through prayer that all that is otherwise impossible in advancing the kingdom of God now can become a reality. And again, it's not just prayer for ourselves, although prayer is good for ourselves, but it's getting involved in the bigger picture of what God wants to do in our local area and in the world, because God's called us to both. A call to this type of prayer was a primary message Jesus left with his disciples. You know, before Jesus left to go, well, actually, in the week or so before he was crucified and then resurrected, there's a lot recorded in the scriptures of things that he was telling his disciples. Last minute instructions. Actually, when we do the next journey through the Bible, we'll probably talk about a lot of these. But like one of them is love one another. A new commandment I give to you. The role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And another aspect, or another thing that he was telling them over and over, was ask anything in my name and I will do it. See, Jesus was giving his disciples, a handful of them, a very large task. A task that really was impossible. And what was that task? To bring the kingdom of God and the message of the kingdom to all the nations of the world. That was their mission. And I mean, I can kind of imagine it. You know, Jesus keeps talking about this mission, everything that he wants to do. And then he kind of says, and by the way, I'm going to be leaving here shortly, but I'm going to leave you the Holy Spirit. I can imagine what they're thinking. They're thinking, wait a minute, Jesus, I don't think you understand. Don't you know there's a Roman Empire out there? And they don't necessarily kind of like all the things you're kind of talking about you being king. And besides, there's kind of this cruel religious establishment that's in Jerusalem. And they certainly don't like what we're saying. And besides, you know, haven't you kind of noticed that we don't have any money? And by the way, we're not even educated. And no one's going to listen to us. You know, we don't have any armies. And you want us to go out and kind of spread the message of a new kingdom with you being a king to the whole world? This is kind of impossible. And then you're talking about leaving. And all those things were true. Actually, Jesus did not leave him empty-handed. He said, there's two things I'm going to do before I leave. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and he's going to help guide you. He's going to teach you. And then I'm going to give you this thing called prayer. That anything that you ask in my name, I'll do it for you. Even if it's impossible, I'll do it for you. And if you got those two things, I'm not worried. You'll be fine in this task that I've called you to. And in fact, God designed it that way. God designed it that this initial group of disciples didn't have a whole lot. They didn't have money. They didn't have education. They didn't have a lot of positions of power. But they did have God. And they did have the promise of this prayer. And so, and by the way, the same is true for us today. We have before us an impossible situation, an impossible mission. Especially when you kind of start looking at what's supposed to be happening in the last days. We don't have much. We're kind of few. You know, the enemy can be very intimidating. There's a rise of secular humanism. There's terrorism. By the way, one thing in Paris, I was told, what was it, back a month or so ago when the terrorists kind of struck Belgium and they hit the airport and they hit the metro station. We remember it was all over the news. Well, actually, one of the things they found out in raiding all their stuff is that they were two possible targets that they had planned. One was Belgium. The other one was they had an idea of hitting a church in Paris. You know, how would you like to be living in a town where you know that terrorism, the terrorists have been talking about how to kind of destroy, bring terrorism, and you're on the target list? You don't know. Would it be our church? Would it be the church down the street? You know, but terrorism, it can be kind of intimidating. We have an impossible task. But God has given us the same promises that he gave them. Let's look at a couple of these verses. Let's look at John 14:14. This is actually the night in which he was betrayed and was going to be taken in. He's talking to his disciples. And he says, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. He says anything. Look at chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, by the way, this is the same night, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. The Father, God's glorified when we bear a lot of fruit. And the only way we bear fruit, we can't bear it by ourselves. We have to have a supernatural God do it. That's why we need to have this promise. Let's look at the same chapter, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give you. Notice it says, whatever you ask. Same thing he said in the verses before that. And before that, he said anything. How about chapter 16? Verse 23. In that day, you will not question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. And to now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full. He's almost kind of saying that, listen, you ask me, I want to give it to you, and that's how your joy is going to be filled. Jesus wasn't saying these things to tease the disciples. He really meant it. That when we go out in the mission that God's called us to, all we have to do is ask in his name, and he will do it. Let's look at Matthew 27, verse 20. And he said to him, to them, because of the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed. By the way, why a mustard seed? Because a mustard seed was one of the smallest seeds. You know, if I were to hold it up, you wouldn't even be able to see it. You got to look at it like, oh, yeah. I mean, it looks like a little dot. And he was using that for a reason. He said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, move from here, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible to you. That's a promise God gave to his disciples. Can you imagine that? If you have only that much faith, and by the way, another place, the scriptures say all of us have been given a little bit, even if it's a mustard seed, so all of us qualify for this, we could say to that mountain out there, be moved, and he'd be moved. Let's put it over in Baal. Or no, let's, now, there's some conditions on that. It has to be God's will. And we want to talk about those in the following weeks. But this is the type of prayer that God wants us to be engaging in. Let's look at Matthew 21. Verse 21 and 22. Seeing this, the disciples were amazed and asked, "Why did the fig tree wither all at once?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only be able to do what was done in this fig tree," because Jesus had cursed it and all of a sudden it just withered, "but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea." How about the Pacific Ocean today? You know, it will happen. "And all things you ask and pray, believing, you will receive." You know, we just, actually just a couple of verses above that, in verse 13, he talks about how my house is supposed to be a house of prayer. This is the type of prayer that God wants us to be engaging in. Mark 11. Verse 22. And Jesus answered, saying to them, "Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, will believe that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted you." You know, again, mountains will be moved. How? Through prayer, this mustard seed type of prayer, or we could call it mountain moving prayer. Luke 17. Let's look at one more here. Luke 17, verse 5 and 6. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith like a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you." And you might say, "Well, what's so special about a mulberry tree?" Well, a mulberry tree was known back there as a weed tree. It would grow up, and you just couldn't get rid of it. You know, you try to pull it up, and it would kind of just spring back up. And he's saying, listen, something that just seems like almost impossible to get rid of. It's like, you know, here in the States, you get dandelions and you try to get rid of them. It's almost impossible, isn't it? Well, this is kind of the same type of thing, except it's a tree. And usually you'd have the side of a whole mountain covered with mulberry trees. And he's saying, it's no problem. You can just cast it into the sea. In other words, what Jesus was saying is that he wasn't trying to tease his disciples. He really meant it. He was saying that I've given you a power in prayer that you can do anything, even if it seems impossible. And a lot of the things that you could be called to do are going to be impossible. God wants us to start growing into this type of prayer. Yes, God's calling us to this type of prayer. And by the way, did you know that this is the type of prayer that all of us can do? It's not dependent upon how long we've been in the Lord. It's not dependent on how old you are. It's not dependent upon your position in life. You might say, well, I really can't do that because I'm just a student. No. Well, you know, if I got married, I'd be able to do it. I'm just a single. No, you can do it while you're single. What if you're a mom of small children? I don't have time to do so. Yes, you can do that. In other words, no matter where we are in life, we can engage in this most powerful part of God's work. What if you're really old? How about, remember there's a woman there in the Bible at the time of Jesus, when they took Jesus to the temple as a baby? There's a woman, I think she was about 84, 86 years old. Was she too old to be used of God? No, she was praying day and night, it says, and fasting. You know, so this is something that every one of us can do. Some people might say, yeah, well, I'd like to kind of do what you do, Mike, and kind of go to France and different places And that sounds very exciting, but you know what? It's kind of like my documents aren't quite ready yet, so I really can't do that now. So does that mean I can't be involved in God's work? No, you can be through prayer. So what does God want us to move into this type of prayer? Because so much is at stake. For us personally, when we start praying like this, it's going to bring fresh joy and fresh life into us. We can see God reveal Himself in fresh ways. It's like that verse we just saw in John 16. It says that when we see God answer prayer, our joy becomes full. We get a new intimacy with God. On the plane, because there's a long plane over there and back, I read a book. It's a story of a man. He's 30 years old right now. His name is Nabil Qureshi. And he grew up in the States as a Muslim. They were very educated. Actually, his dad was an officer in the U.S. Navy. They were what they prided themselves in, we're the peace-loving Muslims. And he loved his parents. They loved him. It was a great childhood. In college, he goes to college and he gets a roommate that happens to be a Christian. His name was David. And in fact, he and David both joined the debate team. So they enjoyed kind of debating. And of course, since one of them was a very strong Christian and another one was a very strong Muslim, they started naturally debating about Islam and Christianity. And then they'd have to go back and they'd study. And in the 4 years of college, Nabil came to the conclusion that David was right, that Christianity is true, because he tried to disprove Christianity. The resurrection didn't happen. And you know, he went and looked in historically, and he also started looking in his own religion, and he saw that a lot of things he had been taught about Islam wasn't really right. But he still didn't kind of convert to Christianity, because he, at least culturally, he was a Muslim, and his family was Muslim, and he knew that if he ever were to become a Christian, his family would, they wouldn't kill him because they love him, but they would just, we don't know you anymore type of thing. But he was, you know, he was intellectually, though, he believed that Christianity is really right. Islam isn't. And so academically, he was in agreement here. So he came, I'm not going to tell you the whole story because you may want to read the book. But basically, he said, God, the God of the Bible, Jesus, if you're really real, I ask that you would do something supernatural. And Muslims take, they, one of the things they believe is that God speaks to you in dreams. And so Jesus, so he didn't know, he just said, Jesus, if you're really real, I ask that you would just show me something in a dream. That very night, he has a dream when Jesus comes in. I'm not going to tell you all the details, but it was unbelievable. And then he has another one, and he has three of them in a period of about a month or so. And he immediately gave his life to the Lord. But before he knew God was real, the Bible, but after he saw God supernaturally work, he was in love with God. So when we move into this type of prayer of asking God to do impossible things, again, it has to be according to His will. We want to talk about that. And God does it, we think, that had to be God. Then all of a sudden, we have a new joy. We have a new love for Him like we've never had before. You know, and sometimes in our Christian life is more academic. We know what's right. And we believe, but to be honest, we're kind of bored. And when we're bored, we get distracted. God is calling us, brothers and sisters, to this type of prayer. So for us personally, for our church as well, oh, I guess that's a mustard seed there, but that's a big mustard seed. They're not really that big. When we begin praying like that as individuals and as a church, and God supplies something supernaturally, and I'm going to kind of give some stories over the next several weeks, all of a sudden, we're overwhelmed by His loving kindness. We're awed by His faithfulness. And as a church, we sort of become a fountain of life and joy springing up, and it's contagious, and it's multiplied within us because God's intervening supernaturally. See, as a church, we were created for a mission. But we really can't do that mission without mustard seed prayer or mountain moving prayer. For the world around us, this is important too. Because people are set free, eyes are open, people hear and respond to the words of eternal life. You know, on Wednesdays, or Thursday this week, we've been talking about the biblical eschatology, the study of the last days. But you know, prayer is going to be essential. Prayer like this is going to be essential as we move more and more into the end days. For a lot of reasons. Remember Daniel? We already talked about him in Daniel 10. He was praying and fasting for 3 weeks because he wanted God to give him some understanding about what was going to happen at the end. And God came through. But we're going to need God's supernatural intervention to see the kingdom of God explode in these days of darkness. Let's look at Isaiah, last verse here, Isaiah 62. We are instructed to pray diligently for the purposes of God to be established in the earth. A lot of the purposes we've been talking about, you know, in our study on Wednesday night. But Isaiah 62, verse 1, this is the type of diligence. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not keep quiet until her righteousness goes forth like brightness, and her salvation like a torch that's burning. You know, in other words, he's saying, we got to keep praying. Or like in verse 6, same chapter. O your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. All day and all night they never keep silent. And what are these watchmen doing? They're praying. You who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves, and give Him no rest until He establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Now that's one of the purposes of God, what He wants to do in Jerusalem. We talked about that. And Isaiah 62 is saying, we got to be diligent about praying for that. But there's a lot of things we need to be diligent about praying for. And it's easy not to pray for some of these things because, well, very frankly, they just seem kind of impossible. But that's just the point. God designed it that way. God wants us to begin to pray at a new level. One that brings supernatural intervention down to earth. Supernatural intervention to the harvest field to which He's called us. We're no longer to be stopped by what looks impossible. We need to realize God's called us to the impossible. In fact, the more impossible, the greater the supernatural intervention and the greater glory He gets. We're not going to walk away from the impossible. Why? Because we've been given the privilege to call upon God's supernatural intervention. We've been given everything we need to do His work. No exceptions. It doesn't matter how small we are or how little money we have. Yes, faith is required. Faith, which we'll talk about another week, is not an emotion, though. It's a decision we make to follow Him in these areas. And I want to ask us this morning, can we make that decision? Can we say, yes, Lord, I want to walk on a path that begins to learn how to pray this mustard seed type of prayer, this mountain moving type of prayer. Even as individuals, I bet you there's probably in most lives here, there's probably at least one, maybe two or three things in your life that look impossible. Is that right? And it may be something that God just wants to walk, you need to walk through, and He's going to give you grace for. But it may be something that He wants to turn around. And prayer is how we do it. And we want to learn how to do that. Let's pray. Lord, we declare that we want to walk on this path. We want to learn more about that mustard seed prayer, that mountain moving prayer. Lord, we don't want to be limited to just what we can see, what looks possible. And Lord, when we look at the task in front of us, the mission you've given us to impact the world around us here in Summit County and even around the world, Lord, we look at ourselves and we think, there's no way. But Lord, you've called us to do it, and you've told us to ask whatever we need and to do it in your name, and that you'll do anything, whatever you say. Lord, that's not the type of living that we usually live. So Lord, we need you to teach us. And so Lord, we ask that over these next few months, that you would build this into our lives and build it into our church. Thank you, Lord. We ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.